Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will pick up with is found at the end of the fourth line from the top. Tana, we have a Tanaic source, Nevad, if something is worshipped. Sheloi Osir, if it's his own, it becomes Osir, and we're speaking specifically about Balei Chaim, animals, and we've spoken in the past about animals that are worshipped do not become Avodah Zarah. They don't become idols per se, in the sense that they do not become forbidden to a commoner, to a hedyot, for his personal use. However, something that is worshipped, if one worships, let us say, his own animal, he can continue benefiting from it. However, he's not allowed to use it anymore as a sacrifice, as a korban. So this source is telling us that if he is worshipping his own animal, osur, it becomes osur legavoa, for a korban, for the Almighty. V'shel chavero mutar. However, if someone worships someone else's animal, then it is mutar. We have a klal, ein odom oiser dover she'eino shelo. A person cannot render unfit something that's not his. V'rominhi, we have a contradictory source. You can see it too is in a frame, two-line source. Ezu nevan, what is considered that which is worship? Kol she'ovdin oisoi, bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, bein b'oynis bein b'rotzon. Something that is worshipped under all different kinds of circumstances, whether it be unwitting or premeditated, whether it be ba'oines, against one's will, or bein v'rotzon, willing. Hai oines heichidomi. In this source, the term oines appeared. What are the circumstances? Lav kagon, is it not speaking about the following? Do'onas v'hemas chavero v'shtacha velo, that he forced his friend to make his animal available and then bow down to it. So that we have behemas chavero in this second source being forbidden. In the first source, we see the chavero, when it comes to behemas chavero, it's not forbidden. That's our contradiction. As you can see now with the markings, we have a triangle appears, and it is the first of several attempts to extricate ourselves from this particular problem. If you look at the note we have on the outside margin, we have a nosei mivne. Nosei is a topic heading with the mivne, a structural note. We've featured a triangle. Four yishuvim liyashev stira benosei imoeve dover shochaveru osroi. Four resolutions of the contradiction regarding the topic of one worshipping his friend's item, does he make it forbidden? So the first approach, Omar Romi Bar Chama, Loi. The assumption that the second source that spoke about Ones was where someone strong-armed his friend's animal away and worshipped it is not the case. That's not the interpretation. Rather, Kugoin She'ansuhu Oibde Kechovim, the case there is that a person bowed to his own animal as a result of pressure applied to him by some Gentiles. They threatened him with death if he wouldn't bow to his own animal. The Tosfos points out here that the pshat is, as we just said, he was threatened with, his life was threatened if he wouldn't bow down. But one should not interpret this that the Gentiles came and bodily and physically bent him over in a bowing position. That kind of thing would have had no effect if they did a maise begufo. And if that were the case, that would be ein adam oser dover sheino shelo. However, here his life was threatened, and as a result of the threat, he on his own volition bowed to his own animal. So that's the case of a case of neva that becomes a neva, becomes worshipped with the resultant outcome of it becoming usur, where he bows to his own animal, albeit under a threat. The case before is someone bowing down to someone else's animal. That has no effect. Maskiflo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks on Romi Bar Chama's pshat, his explanation, he says, Oines Rachmona Patre, Dichti V'Nara Lois Asedovar. Oines, things that are done under duress, in this case his life was threatened, that is the Rachmona Patre, the Torah exempts him. In other words, his action should have no consequence based on the pasuk where a woman, Naram Rasa is forcibly raped. The pasuk says that nothing happens to her because it was totally against her will. So we see from there that Oines, the Torah exempts Ella Omar Rava. So Rava has to offer his pshat now. Rava now offers a pshat in resolving the contradiction we saw above. Hakol hoyu bichlal lo sovdeim. The pasuk that warns against idol worship warns against all circumstances of idol worship, even if it's oines. Before we go further, let's just note that we have a long answer marking here. In order to develop Rava's point, it will take a few lines. You can see that by the tuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. So Rava tells us that initially, when you see the pasuk of Lo Savdeim, that entails even oines, that one is forbidden to worship idols, even if it's a function of being threatened. Ukshepart lo hakosuv v'chai bohem v'lo shiyomus bohem. Yotzoines. There's another pasuk that says that one is expected to live by the Torah, not die by the Torah. So, if, according to that pasuk, it would seem that oines is not part of the requirements of Torah observance. In other words, if one is under duress, so then he has to preserve himself. Life preservation supersedes all other commands. The Hadar Kosov Rahmana, then there's a third pasuk that says Veloi Sechalulu es Shem Kochi. Don't cause my name to be defiled. Da'afilu bo'ines. That pasuk would say that one has to preserve the sanctity of God's name even if confronted by uncontrollable circumstances, namely, even under duress. So how does one resolve all of this dichotomy? So ha ketzad, how do we resolve this? Ha betzina, ha befarhesya. If it's in private, then there is no public desecration of God's name. Then one is expected to preserve himself, and even if it entails violation of the Torah. However, the farhesya, then oines is forbidden. So, with these two categories of tzina versus farhesya, we can go back to our sources above and say the source that said oines is osir, that was talking about farhesya. That was the second source. The first source that indicated that oines is mutter, that's a case of tzina. In truth, one can simply say that the second source that says that the oines is created, that's because that was talking about a case of farhesia. That even though he was worshipping his own animal, or let us say that under all circumstances of worship, since he should have given up his life and he didn't, that creates Isser. And that's what Rashi says on the second narrow line, Bifarhesya, lo yisichalulu, if it's public, one is not allowed to desecrate, v'hai dikotoni oines osir, Bifarhesya. And the source that said oines is osir, meaning that the animal that's worshipped, even if it happens to be under oines circumstances, that it becomes osir, that's because it was done publicly. We have a bracketed section. It's not designed for skipping, but it is designed to point out that that which is within the brackets is an attempt to support Rava's explanation, but Rava himself will reject this attempted support. After the brackets, you can see we approach number three, a third approach to the two sources that opened up this sukkah. So that having been said, let's look at the bracketed section. Omru le Rabbanon le Rava. Tanya de Misaelof, the Rabbanon said to Rava, we have a Tanaic source that supports you. Bimosios shel ovikohavim. Bimosios, we have seen in a previous sugya, these are platforms that idols were placed upon. So these platforms, b'shas hagzera, shas hagzera is a time that the government issues edicts that one must worship these things. And Rashi explains that Shas HaGzera is a public matter and it represents circumstances of ones. So we say that Afalpi She HaGzera Botla Oison Bimosios Lo Botlu, that even if the edict is withdrawn, those platforms that had been around during the Shas Gezera, those idol platforms do not become voided. They retain their Isser. So we see from here that acts or rulings that involve, entail oines, being that they are public, they take effect, even though it's circumstances of ones, like Shas Gzera, where the government issues an edict that you have to worship these things. Omar Luhu, Rava responds, it says, Imishum ha lo tisayon. The source that was cited, if you think that that is supposed to support me, it doesn't serve as a support to me. Amar, I could suggest, and we've dashed underlined the word Amar, we'll see momentarily why, but Rava says, I could suggest Yisrael Mumer Have. The case involving the Bimosois involved a rebellious Jew, Upolach Lo Berotzon, and the platforms that were set up for the idols were worshipped by this Yisrael Mumar willingly. It's not a case of ones. He, on his own, wanted to worship it. And as a result of that, that's what creates the prohibition of those bimosios, and not the government edict forcing people under ones circumstances to worship them. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi, upon hearing this, he says, Lo temo emar, don't approach this with a mere suggestion that I could say that those were the circumstances. Ela vada Yisrael Mumer have upolach lo berotzon. That is what happened over there. The Rashi, he says, vada Yisrael Mumer de e efsher b'chol ha'ovdin. It's impossible to have a situation of all things that are worshipped shalei hebohen echad mumar, that there isn't amongst the population a rebellious individual. When one sees that the Jews are being suppressed, like we described the case Shas HaGzera, so there are those that they lose their wits and they say, trouble isn't worth it. I'm going to jump sides. I'm going to join them. And he becomes a willing worshiper of it, and that's why those bimosios are also, because must have been someone in that community that willingly worshipped it. However, we don't see a support from the case of the bimosios to suggest that oines would also create a prohibition. Nevertheless, Rava's answer to the stira above stands, that in general one cannot aser behemas chavero, because ein odom oser dover shein shelo. The case that spoke about ones as being forbidden, that's a case where someone was forced into worshipping. Could very well be he was forced into worshipping his own animal. And if you'll ask, but one who's being forced, that's ones, and ones rachmona patre. Rava says that may be true in private, but if in public, then it does take effect. The third approach, Chizkia Omar, Kegoin, the source that says that Osir, in other words, it spoke about Ones and it having an effect, Kegoin Shenisech Lavodis Kechovim Yayin Bein Karneha. The person used the animal as a, we'll call it as an a sight or an aiming device. And you know, a sight would be in with certain types of weaponry, arms. So there's a gun sight that one views his target by looking through a type of a telescope device attached to a rifle. In this case, he's using the horns of the animal as a sight to through which to aim his sprinkling of wine to an idol. According to Chizkia, we are talking about a behemas chavero. And if you'll ask, ein odom osir dover sheina shelo, so Rashi points out that's true if an action is not done to the animal itself. However, here the animal itself was used. The animal itself, meaning the animal was taken by someone else, a non-owner, and used as a sight through which to aim his nisuch hayayin to an idol. That's called a maisa. And a maisa to the animal does take effect, even if it's not your own. That is, as opposed to bowing to someone's animal, where the animal's body itself isn't used. You are bowing at a relative distance from the animal to it, but that doesn't constitute a maisa with the animal itself. Maskif lo Rav Ado bar Avo, hi nevan hu. The case we just described, is that where the animal is worshipped? Hi bimus bi'almahu v'hu d'shavya. That's merely using the animal as a bimus, literally as a platform. But the point is that the animal itself wasn't worshipped. The animal itself also wasn't used as a service a tool to an avodah zarah. I simply aimed at another idol through the horns of this particular animal, but the animal itself wasn't used in service of an idol, nor was the animal itself worshipped. So why should it become forbidden? Elo Omar Rav Ado bar Avo, a fourth approach. We have to explain the source that said that Oynes creates Isser. Kegoin shenisech lo yayin bein karneha. He worshipped the animal itself. And how did he worship it? Not by bowing to it. That would have no effect. But rather, he sprinkled or poured wine on the animal's head between its horns. So once again, even though there's a rule that ein odom oiser dover sheino shelo, here he, as the Gemara says, the ovad bo maisa, he did an action of worship to the animal itself. The chiha di asa ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and in accordance with Ula's teaching, afal pi sheamru hamishtach v'mischaver lo asra, even though it has been said that one who bows to one's friend's animal, he does not create prohibition. Also bo maisa asra. If a person does an action to the animal in the course of worshipping the animal, that does create prohibition. Amalahu Rav Nachman,
Poku v'omru lei l'ula. Go out and tell Ula, kvar tirgimo Rav Huna l'shmaitzech bebovel, that what Ula is teaching in Eretz Yisrael was already taught by Rav Huna in Bovel. The Omer Rav Huna, oisa behemas chaveru revuta b'fnei avodas chachavim. Someone else's animal was crouching or lying in front of an idol. I come along and kevan de sheshachad bo simen echad osra. As soon as I cut in shechita, slaughter, one of the two simonim, you have in the animal's neck, there are two pipes. There's a trachea and an esophagus, the windpipe and the food pipe. Once you slaughter one of them, cut one of them for the idol, that renders the animal forbidden. Minol lon di osra, from where do we know that it becomes forbidden? E lema, and here we have a new marking. We have a double underline with dots in it. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, and also a mivneh later. The topic heading says, Afal pi de'ein odom oyser dover sheinu shelo, osra b'maisa osra. Minolan. That even though we say that a person cannot make forbidden that which is not his, if he does an action to it, he does create prohibition. And from where do we know this? With the double underline, you'll notice under the mivneh heading, nisyonos. These are attempts to discover from where we know this idea. And then there's use of a squiggle underline under the word. You'll see vidilma. These are rejections. So at this point, we're inquiring, how does one know that if one does an action to someone else's animal, it can render it forbidden? So e lema mikoyhanim, Rashi explains, e lema mikoyhanim, she'onsum malchei Yisrael la'asois koymeloiz kechovim. Historically, there were kings of the northern kingdom in Israel, the Malchi Yisrael, that forced Kohanim to serve idols, to serve as priests to idols. Uksiv lo'ikshu elai l'chayin li. And the Pasuk says regarding those people that once they served idols, even though they were doing so under duress, they can no longer serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So if that is going to be the precedent, the Dilma, the Gemara rejects that and says, Dilma shaini kohanim debnei deyoninu. Maybe kohanim are different in the fact that they are themselves, have their own minds. And the fact that they chose to yield to the pressure, that is what creates the prohibition of their subsequent serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And you can't compare kohanim under duress to the case of my strong-arming someone's animal and using it in the service or using it as an idol per se. The Elo me'avne mizbeach. Maybe we can learn from the stones of the mizbeach that we saw in a previous sukya that the Malchei Beis Hashemunoi, after the Greeks contaminated the Beis HaMikdash for in their use of it as a place of idolatry, we saw that the Hashmonoi took the stones and put them out of service. And even though it was Hegdish, and even though we say that Ein Odom Oser Dover Sheino Shelo, that the Goyim, technically speaking, should not have been able to render it forbidden, since a Maisa was done to them, since they offered sacrifices to their deities on our Mizbeach, that is what created this prohibition, and the Hashanah had to put it away. So maybe that will be the precedent for what Rav Huna teaches. Also, where he mentioned that kivan sheshochah bo simen echad osra, where a person does a maisa to the animal itself, just like a maisa was done to the stones there, and we saw the stones becoming forbidden. So too, with regard to my doing a maisa to someone else's animal, that creates prohibition. The Gemara rejects this. V'dilma k'derav papa. Maybe one can't learn from the Avne Mizbeach there. There was a teaching of Rav Papa that Rashi reminds us of, where there was a pasuk that mentioned that if the Gentiles plunder us through a military force, the pasuk said, "Ubo ba pritzim v'chaluluah." Once they plunder us, it goes out to Chulin, it becomes mundane, and at the point that it becomes mundane, as a result of their military victory, the stones of the Mizbeach left the realm of Hegdish, and the Gentiles were able to acquire them at that point and osser them, and as a result of that, that's not an example of Ein Adam Oser Dover She'enu Shelo, because it became Shelo, it became Shelahem, it became theirs at the point that it went to Chulin. So that's different than the case of my coming along to someone else's animal. It's not mine. So who says that if I do something to the animal, even if it be an action to the animal itself, who says that it should become forbidden? Ela mikelim dechtiv. We're going to learn from the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash that the king Ochaz was a rosha. He was an idol worshipping king. He rendered the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash unfit for further use, even though they were not his to aser. Nevertheless, since he used them for idolatrous purposes, they became forbidden. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, "V'es kol hakelim asher hizniach hamelach Ochaz b'malchusoy b'ma'alo heichanu v'kdashnu." The Omar Mar, and we explained in a previous sugya, heichanu means she gonzum, that he hid them, that after Ochaz they had to put them away. Vikdashnu means shikdashnu achirim tachtein, that we had to replace them with other vessels. V'ha'ein odom oser dover she'enu shelo. How could Ochaz have affected the vessels in the first place? They weren't his, they were part of the temple fund, the temple property. How could he, even though he used them for idolatrous purposes, how could he render them forbidden? Elokeman the Ovad Bu Maisa, since he did an action with those vessels for idolatrous purposes, Itzeru Luhu, that does impose upon them restriction and prohibition. Hochanami, here too, when it came to Behemas Chavero, Kevon Sha'osa Bo Maisa, since he did a Maisa to it, like we saw, he was shochat bo simen echad or nisech lo yayin bein karnov to it, to as service to the animal itself, osra. That creates prohibition. So as you look at this sugya, we saw a seeming contradiction between two sources. The first source indicating that a person cannot render someone else's animal forbidden. A second source that described onus as having an effect, onus being interpreted as using someone else's animal in the context of idolatry, and it does have an effect. Then we saw four approaches taken by the Gemara to resolve that, primarily to explain how could there be a case of onus that results in restriction. Finally, we came up with the idea that even though in general, Eino Adam Oser Dover She'enu Shelo, if a person does an action to something it's Eino Shelo, it does become prohibited. And we then sought out a precedent or a source for that idea. And we found it in the form of the practice of Ochaz with regard to the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is the basis of Ula and Rav Huna's teaching that we saw on Amud Aleph. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, and we take a glance at the outside margin. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, whereby we combine the topic and structural note. We see the house form, Shnei Memros B'Shmosh Rabbi Yochanan, two quotations or halachas in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The first, Rav Dimi quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda quotes Rabbi Yochanan. The diamond is used to highlight al dvorim she'enom ne'esorim ayidei shtachavo avol ne'esorim bedrochim achirim, things that do not become forbidden through mere bowing to them. And they're featured in the diamonds. We have karka olam. Karka olam is the ground, like we've had in previous sugyas. One bows to a mountain or to hills. That's karka olam, that it doesn't become forbidden through bowing to it, but something else could create a prohibition to the mountain itself or the ground. And the second example are balei chayim, animals, where the bowing to an animal
does not render it forbidden for common use, but something else could render it forbidden even for common use, for the hanoah of a hedyo. The Gemara now, ki also Rav Dimi on Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, even though it has been said that one who bows to the ground and in worship of the ground does not become forbidden. If he changes the form of the ground, he digs into the ground, he digs pits, boros, shichlim oros, different forms of diggings or pits in the ground, and he does that in honor of or in service to an idol. He does that as an act of idolatry. He's digging as an act of worship. Then the ground is usur even for personal benefit. He also Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afal Pi Shomru Hamishtachav Abalei Chaim Lo Usran. Even though it has been said that one who bows to an animal, worships an animal, it doesn't make the animal forbidden for common use. It's true that it becomes forbidden as a sacrifice, but not for common use. Nevertheless, Asan Chalibin Lavidus Chavim, if an animal is offered in exchange for an idol, I take my animal and I acquire with it. I take my animal and acquire with it an idol that is in the possession of my friend. You take my animal, I'll take your idol. Then Asran, the animal, becomes prohibited for personal benefit. He also Ravin Omar. When Ravin came, he said, "Pligu ba Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbanan." There's a controversy between these two schools of thought. Chad Omar Chalipin Asurin Chalipe Chalipin Mutarin. One says that the initial exchange of animal for idol renders the animal prohibited. Chalipe Chalipin Mutarin. However, if I take the animal that take the animal that was exchanged for an avodah zarah and then exchanged it for, let's say, something else, for fish, that's called chalipe chalipin. That would be permissible. The fish would be allowed. V'chad omar, a second school holds, afilu chalipe chalipin nami asurin. Even that, we'll call it the second generation of exchange, also becomes forbidden. My taimo de ma domar chalipe chalipe nasurin. You'll notice we have a numbering, a little number 2 in parentheses. There's a note that we have in the inside margin regarding this. Hamisporim besograim, we'll see numbers in parentheses 1 and 2. Mechuvonim lemanda omar beinyan chalipe chalipen kedei lahokel al hamaakav. These will be references to the 2 chad omars that we had just above, in order to make the enable us to keep track of the sugya and who we are referring to, make that job a little easier. So we're focusing on that second mandoma right now. What is the reasoning behind his opinion that says even that second generation of exchange is forbidden? Omar Kra, the pasuk says, "Vayisah cherem kamohu," which we interpret, "Kol she'ato mehayem imenu," anything that you make from it, "harei hu kamo," becomes like it, becomes like the idol itself. So that this pasuk is extensive, and anything that comes from it, if you have something whose origin, if you trace it back to the beginning, you'll find that it came about, or it came through an idol. So that if we have a chain of exchanges, the original exchange being done for an idol, then everything that results, that is found to be exchanged for any subsequent item in the chain of events, it too becomes like it, like the idol itself, and hence forbidden. We have also assigned to this particular piece of Gemara a topic heading on the outside margin, the nose, say, Machloikis I Nesarum Chalipe Chalipin Shel Avodah Zarah. That's what we're dealing with now. Controversy. Do we say that that subsequent levels of exchange or subsequent generations of exchange become forbidden. So now, as the Gemara goes on, the Idach, we have the first Mad Omar that said that the Chalipe Chalipen Mutarin Omar Kra, who? The Pasuk says, uses the word who, and that's a limitation word. Who velo Chalipe Chalipen, meaning the first item exchanged for the idol itself, that becomes usur, but not anything beyond that. And that's from the Pasuk that says, Ki Chirem Hu. The Idach, the Madomar that did say subsequent generations of exchange are forbidden. Hahu, the Pasuk just cited, Ki Chirem Hu is needed. Hahu mi boyale limute orlo vakilei akirem. That's to exclude those items, arla, fruit of the first 3 years of a fruit-bearing tree that are forbidden to benefit from, and kilei akirem, grains that grow in a mixed together in a vineyard, a wine vineyard. Those two kilei akirem, those products, those grains that grow in a vineyard, are also forbidden to benefit from. Shim mochron the kidesh bedveim mekudeshes. If one were to say, let us say, take orla fruits or kilei akirem grains and sell them, and then get money from the from that sale, and he would use the money to then marry a woman. Let's just use the term acquire a woman. So she's mekudeshes, and we don't say with regard to orla and kilei akirem, we don't say kol shate mehaye mimenu, which we do say by Avodah Zorah. The Idach, the first Madomar, he's not going to use the Ki Chirem Hu to exclude Orla and Kilei Kerem. He says, Orla and Kilei Kerem lo tzrichi miuta. They don't need a pasuk of limitation to exclude them, to allow their chalipin. Dehav yolehu avidus kechavim ushvius shnei ksuvim aboyim keachon. It's only these two areas, Avodah Zorah, meaning idols, and the seventh year agricultural products. Those are two topics that teach the same thing, that the Chalipein Asurim, that the items acquired in exchange for them become restricted or prohibited. And there's a rule that says, when you have two psukim, or two topics that are designed to teach the same thing, so we say ein melamden, they do not serve as precedent to teach other areas. In other words, if you're going to tell me that there is a concept of halipin asurin, something you get in exchange for a prohibited item, that the item received in exchange also becomes prohibited, and you then tell me that that phenomenon exists in two halachic, two legal areas, we will tell you it's only in those two legal areas that they exist and not elsewhere. And when we say not elsewhere, we're telling you it doesn't cover Orla and it doesn't cover Kilei Akirem. So I don't need the pasuk of Ki Chirem Hu to exclude Orla and Kilei Akirem from that restriction. That I can figure out based on this rule of Shnei Ksuvim Boim Keachad. With that in mind, Mad Omar number one has the pasuk of Ki Chirem Hu available to tell me that only the first generation of exchange is restricted and not subsequent generations of exchange, as we referred to that before, as Mad Omar number one says, Chalipe Chalipen are allowed. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and the length of this bracketed section one can see through using the length indicator for brackets. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a dash-dotted vertical line. If you skip down to the end of that line, you'll see the brackets ends after the second word on that particular line. And then after that it says V'idoch. The Mandomer number two, who says Chalipe Chalipen do become restricted, How can that be in light of the fact that we just said that this whole issue of Chalipin is a case of Shnei Ksuvim Aboyin Keechod, and he wants to, if that be the case, then why does he use the Pasuk of Ki Chirem Hu to Mimayet Orla and Kilei HaKerem. Why does that Mandomer number two use, and we've indicated that before, that the Ki Cherem who he uses to Mimayet Orla and Kilei HaKerem, when I can Mimayet that through the power of the rule, Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad. So at this point, after the brackets, the Gemara says, "V'idoch Kosovar," that Mandomer number two, who uses Ki Cheremhu to exclude Orlin Kilei Kerem, figures Shnei Ksum Aboyachem Melamdin, that the fact that you have Avodah Zorah and Shvius that teach me that Chalipin are Usser, I could, in fact, have learned from them to other topics. And had I had just that point of information that Avodah Zorah and Shvius Aser forbid the Chalipin, I would have thought the same thing in the case of Orla and Kilei HaKerem. That if I took Orla or Kilei HaKerem and sold them, the money would become Aser and I would not be able to Mekadesh a woman with it. Therefore, the Istrich Hu Limutinu, I need the Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu to exclude the Orla and Kilei HaKerem from this concept of Chalipin being Aser. Let's go over the Gemara again. The point before the brackets was a reflection of the first Mandomar, and he said that I don't need a Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu to exclude Orla and Kilei HaKerem because they're automatically excluded from this concept of the Chalipin being restricted by virtue of the fact that Avodas Kechovim and Shvius are Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad, and only in those cases of Shvius and Avodah Zorah do the Chalipin become restricted. In the brackets, you see, we have a note on the inside margin. There's a little double asterisk that we've drawn in. Basograim, in the brackets, Yesh Reka L'Shnei Ksuvim D'Avodah Zorah Shvius. There's background for these topics, the topics of idolatry and seventh year products, with regard to their attaching the Isser gets attached to subsequent exchanges. Dilug al haketa besograim, if one skips the section in the brackets like we did, ozer lakov achar masumatan ben shnei hashitos, it helps in keeping track of the back and forth discussion between the two opinions that were called idach, meaning this one and that one, opinions number one and two regarding Chalipe Chalipin. Let's now go back to the Gemara. Having skipped it initially, let's go and learn the Gemara inside the brackets. Avodas Kechovim ha damoran. As far as Avodah Zorah being able to aser the exchange, we saw that already, where one took an idol and exchanged it for an animal. So we saw that the animal became forbidden. Shvius Dichtiv, a case of seventh year products, where do we see that the exchange becomes forbidden? We might want to mention, by the way, that there was a pasuk also cited for idolatry that indicates that an item exchanged for the idol becomes usher. The pasuk had said, "Vayiso cherim kamohu," that the prohibition of the idolatry gets transferred. The restriction, the prohibition, gets transferred onto an item exchanged for it. So, the topic of Avodas Kechovim, we've already presented the sources for that. Shvius, regarding the seventh year produce, dichtiv ki yovel hi kodesh tielochem. The pasuk in discussing prohibition of a particular year's produce, whether it be Shvius or Yovel, also the Yovel year, you have the same restriction with regard to the produce that appears during that year. We say Ma Kodesh Teifes is Doma of the Osir, just like things that one sanctifies. If one transfers the sanctity from the item onto something else, so the other item becomes holy, so to speak. Af shvius tefeses es domel vasura. So too, shvius, the seventh year agricultural produce, if it is exchanged for something else, the other item also absorbs that restriction, the restriction of the seventh year products. Question: Ima kodesh tefes es domel v'yotze lechulin. Af shvius tefeses es domel v'yotze lechulin. If we are we to take this analogy between shvius produce and kodesh all the way and say, when you're dealing with kodesh, when you're dealing with things that are dedicated to the temple, if you take that item and transfer its kedusha, its holiness, onto money, what happens? It becomes redeemed. The original kodesh product exits the realm of kodesh. It exits the realm of holiness and becomes mundane. And the kedusha, the sanctity, settles on the money. Are we to say the same thing with regard to shvius produce? That if you take shvius fruits and exchange it for money, sell them, the din of shvius, the restrictions of the Shemitah year, will be absorbed by the money, and the original fruits, are they deemed as going to be becoming chulin, becoming mundane? That's not true. Talmud Lomar, Tiyeh. The pasuk by Yovel or Shemitah, which are interchangeable terms, we said the pasuk says ki Yovel he kodesh tiyeh lochem. Tiyeh means behav yosa tehei. The original produce, the original Shemitah year produce, stays as it is, even though it was used in an exchange for money. Ha ketzad, how does this work? Lokach beperos shvius bosar. Let's say, instead of talking about cash, a person took some Shemitah fruits and exchanged them for meat. Elu v'elu misbarin b'shvius. Both the original fruits retain their sanctity or their kedusha shvius, and the meat as well are misbarin. They are to be destroyed during the Shemitah year. Without getting into details of halachas of Shemitah, part of the restrictions of Shemitah mean or states that when the fruits become go out of season, when they're no longer growing in the fields and available for chaya basada, for animals in the fields, then there's a rule, kalei oisim min abayis, you have to get rid of them from your house. So if a person took Shemitah fruits and exchanged it for meat, when that particular end of season arrives for the fruit that you used for the meat exchange, not only must the meat be destroyed, so too the original fruits. So we see already that when Shemitah products are exchanged for something else, the original fruits retain their kedusha. Lokach bebosr dogim. The story of the Shemitah fruits continues. The meat that he just acquired in exchange for the Shemitah fruits, if he then switched the meat for fish, he took the meat and decided he wanted, instead of meat, he wanted fish. So he found a fish vendor and offered him meat and got from him fish. We say, Yotze Basar Nichnasu Dogim. The meat, in this case, does exit the Kedusha Shvius that it had, and the fish enter. The fish take on now Kedusha Shvius. In other words, the Kedusha Shvius that the meat had gets transferred onto the fish. Bedogim Yayin. And then this chain continues. He took the fish and exchanged it for wine. Yotsu Dogim Nichnas Yayin. The fish lose their Kedusha Shvius and the wine absorbs it. Beyayin Shemen. He then exchanged the wine for oil. Yotsu Yayin V'nichnas Shemen. The wine leaves the realm of Shvius and the oil enters it. Ha-ketzad, how do we describe this this entire chain? As follows, achron achron nitfas, every subsequent item absorbs the kedusha shvius. That's achron achron nitfas b'shvius. Upri atzmo osur, and the original fruit also remains osur. What we've seen then in this bracketed section, we have seen how avodas kechavim and shvius are two examples of items that, when transferred, their characteristic, their restriction, whether it be prohibition or kedusha, gets transferred onto the subsequent item, onto the item acquired through the transfer, and that's called shnei ksuvim haboyim keechod. As a result of that, the
the Madomar number one says, I don't need the Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu to serve as an exclusion of Orla and Kilir Cherem. I know that on my own based on the principle of Shnei Ksuma Bon Ke'echot. As a result of that, Madomar number one had the Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu to restrict or to Memayate Chalipe Chalipin from becoming Osir, and hence he held that Chalipe Chalipin Madomer number one said Chalipe Chalipin are mutter based on the pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu. The Idach, the Gemara now turns to the second Madomer that held that Chalipe Chalipin are Osir. Kosovar, he holds that in general, when you have two topics that come to teach me the same point of law, they can serve as a precedent. As a result of that, I would think that if someone sold Orlo Kilea Kerem, the money that he got from that sale would be usur, and he would not be able to Makadish a woman with it. Therefore, V'itzterich Hu, I need the Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu, Limutinu, to exclude Orlo and Kilea Kerem. As a result of that, the Pasuk of Ki Cherem Hu is not available to teach me a leniency with regard to Chalipe Chalipin. And that's why Mandomer number 2 holds Chalipe Chalipin are in fact Osir as well. As we look at the Mishnah, new Mishnah, we notice the use of a double underline, one of our series markings. The Nosei Mivneh, we have a topic heading and structural note. The double underline, as appears in the Mishnah, features a du-siach, a back and forth, a two-way discussion, ba-she-la, regarding the question of Loma HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ma'abed avodah zarah. Why does God not destroy idols? Why does He allow idols to exist in the world? Shalu es hazkenim baromi. The sages were asked in Rome, im ein ritzenu b'avodas kechavim, loma eino mevatla. If it is not the will of the Almighty to have idols, then why does He not get rid of them? Amru lahen. So the sages answered, ilu l'davar she'en tzorach l'olam bo hoyu ovdim, hoyu mevatlo. Had the realm of idolatry covered only items that had no use for the maintenance of the world, then He would have eliminated them. Harehein ovdim l'cham l'vano l'kechav mazolos. However, we know that they worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. Yovad oylamu b'nei hashoitim. Should God destroy the world because of the fools, those that choose to worship these elements that are essential for the maintenance of the world? Amru lahem. So the questioners ask back these zakenim. In Cain, if that be the case, Yovad dover she'en tzoruch l'olam bo, v'yaniach dover she'tzoruch l'olam bo. The Almighty should get rid of that which is of no use to the world. Let us say statues that they carve or sculpt for the purposes of idolatry, and those He should eliminate. And He'll leave. Let Him leave the sun, the moon, the stars, and the constellations. Amru lahem, af anu machzikin yidei ovdeim shel elu. If that would take place, then those that worship the essential elements would actually be strengthened. Shoimrim, they would then be able to claim Tedu Shehein Elohus. Let it be known that those things that we worship are in fact deities. Shehare Hein Lovodlu. They are not destroyed. In other words, they have their own inherent power. And therefore, they would be able to prove by their being maintained that they are in fact deities. Well, God the Almighty, seeing that that is a possibility, He decides to leave them all around, those that are necessary and those that are unnecessary as well. As we turn to the Gemara, we notice a frame section, and this is a rather extensive frame section. It goes all the way down the Nun Hei Omer Aleph into the beginning of the wide lines. Unfortunately, because of the nature of these shiurim that are designed to be a daf yomi shiur, So we're going to find that we won't be able to conclude the entire brisa, the entire frame section in the context of today's shiur. However, one should realize that it's a long discussion that goes all the way down the majority of Nun Hei Omen Aleph as well. Notice on the side we have a mivneh that indicates Ad Nun Hei Omen Aleph, a structure. The symbols that will be appearing here will continue to be used on Nun Hei Omen Aleph as well. So we have a bow tie. Sidra Shel She'elois Utmiois B'Noisei Avodah Zarah. There will be a series of questions and comments of amazement with regard to idolatry. The triangle will be employed here as follows: Tshuvos Shel Chachamim LaPhilosofim. The responses of the sages are featured with the triangles, as those are the responses to the skeptics that raise some of these questions. We'll also be using a double underline with dots in it, highlighting the expression Emshol L'cho Moshal, where the where part of the response involves the use of an analogy. And we'll also see diamonds used quite a bit later on this Amud, where you see the terms Kelev and Mesim are featured. These are analogies that will be used in the discussion. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Shalu Philosophin Es Hazkein Beromi. The Philosophin are the Chachmei Ha'umos, the wise men of the Gentiles, posed a question to the rabbinic sages in Rome. Im Elokechem Ein Ritzonu B'Vizkechovim, if it is so that the Almighty has no desire for idols, Neima Eino Mevatla, why is it that he doesn't eliminate them? Amru Lahem, so the sages responded, Ilu L'Dover She'ein Ho'olam Tzorach Lo Hoyu Avdin, had it been such that they worship things that the world has no need for, Harei Hu Mevatla, he would have eliminated them. Harei Hein Ovdin, however, we find that they do worship Lachamo, Lavono, Lakoichov, Mozos. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. Yovar Oilom Ibnei Ashoitim, should God eliminate his world because of the fools? In other words, should he put out the sun and have the world freeze to death only because of the fools that worship the sun? Elo Oilom Kimin Hogui Noheg, the world continues as it does. The laws of nature continue to operate. The shaitim shakilkalu asidim litenes adin, and the fools that ruined things, that went off the path, they will answer to a court of law in the future, a heavenly court of law. Dover acher hare shigozal sa shochitim v'holach v'zor b'karka. Imagine, this is another response that the Chachamim offer the sages of the Gentile sages, and they say, imagine someone went ahead and stole a measure of wheat and then planted it in the ground. Dinhu shalo tismach, by letter of the law, since he planted stolen grains, it shouldn't grow. In other words, as a punishment for planting stolen grains, God should have arranged it that it shouldn't grow. However, that's not the way God conducts or operates the world. The world continues following the rules of nature that God created. That's and the fools that went off, they eventually will pay. They'll answer to the court of justice. Dovarachir, Hare Shebo al Eshes Chavero. Imagine someone had relations with someone else's wife. These are obviously forbidden relations. Dinhu Shelo Tisaber. By letter of the law, the woman who had intimacy with a forbidden man should not become pregnant. In other words, every woman that's involved with extramarital relations, every married woman that's involved with extramarital relations, she should not become pregnant. Hello? Olam keminhago noheg. There are rules of nature that continue to be in control, to operate. That's again olam keminhago noheg v'holech. The shaitim shekilkalu, the fools that went off, asidim litenes adin. We have a short section that's in brackets. That's because this is a non-Tanaic section. But after the brackets, the Tanaic source continues. Hence, we've used these brackets to isolate this section. However, it's not here for skipping purposes. Therefore, we continue reading. V'hainu doma Reish Lakish, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's based on what we've said till now, how the God allows the rules of nature that He created to continue to operate. Based on this, Reish Lakish said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo dayon l'rishoyim sh'oisin sela shalipon bi. It's not enough that they make my form public. Elo shematrichin osi umachtimen osi baal korchi. But they trouble me and force me to sign, so to speak, against my will. This is a little bit vague, but Rashi clarifies this. But let us glance at the Rashi. Sh'oisin sela shali pumbi. Roshim shali. It's a form. Shani roshim bo, that I use for making things, for minting things. Velaz coin. Oisin hefker, they take my form and make it hefker lakol. They create. They make it something of a public nature. Shekol haroitze lachdim bo yachdim bo. They take my form and enable it to be used by anybody. Klomar, what are we saying here? Sheboin al ha'erva al korchi umalidin. They conduct illicit relations and give birth. You know, we can explain or add to this Rashi by saying that God creates a form. The form is that institution responsible for childbirth. And God's form is through the institution of marriage. In other words, child production under the context of marriage, marital relations. That is the production of children, the creation of children through the way God intends. Someone comes along and conducts illicit forms of intimacy, so he's misusing God's form and rendering it hefker, taking it out of its restricted context, and continues to produce children that way. That's what's being described over here. The Rashi goes on to say, Elo shematrichanosi, shani yotzer havlad al korchi. It's almost as if something is done against God's will, in that here illicit relationship takes place, and even though it's forbidden, I still enable a child to be formed, umolidin, and they bear such children. Sharei gzeiro hi lefonai. The reason for this is because I made a rule at the very beginning, shiyinuga elikim in hogo, and my rule that I made in the creation of the world is that the rules of nature shall continue under all circumstances, generally speaking. Turning back to the Gemara, Shaul Flusfus Echod es Rav Gamliel. A Gentile scholar asked Rav Gamliel, Kosa b'toraschem, it says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Oichla Hu Kel Kano. The description of the Almighty is one of a consuming fire that is a jealous God. V'tnei ma miskane bo'evdeha ve'ein miskane bo. The question that he poses is, why is it that God takes out his vengeance on the worshippers and not on the item that is being worshipped? Omar lo, so Rav Gamliel answers, Emshech Moshel, I'll give you an analogy. Lema hadover dome, to what can this be compared? Lemelech bosav adam, to a mortal king, Shehoyalo ben Echad, he had a sole child, a single son. Voisa ben hoyo megadel loy es hakelev. And this single son was raising a dog. Vehelo loy shame al shame aviv. And he used his father's name in addressing the dog. He called the dog by his father's name. Kshunishba, Omer, and when he would swear, he would take an oath, saying Bechaye Kelev Abba. He's saying he would use his dog as a frame of reference for his oath, and the dog carrying his father's name. Ukshishama Melech, and when the king hears about this, Almihu Kayes, on whom is he going to express his wrath? In other words, that the king's honor is certainly being defiled by the son's behavior. Who does the father get angry at? Al Haben Hu Kayes or Al Kelev Hu Kayes? Does he get angry at the son or angry at the dog? Heve Omer Al Haben Hu Kayes. He gets angry at the son who has a mind of his own. Who the dog is just a victim, so to speak. The dog didn't initiate anything. Omar Lo, so the philosoph says back to Rav Gamliel, Kelev Ata Kore Oisa, are you calling the idols a dog? In your analogy, you're using the Kelev to illustrate the idol as opposed to the idol worshipper. Vahalo Yesh Bo Mamish. The idol isn't a dog. The idol has substance to it in the sense that it has its own powers. Amalo Maro Isa. So Rav Gamliel asks, what did you see? How did you come to the conclusion that the idol has its own powers? Amalo, so the philosoph answers, Pam achas nofla deleko b'yireinu, once upon a time a fire fell in our neighborhood. V'nisrafa kol ha'ir kula, and the entire city went up in flames. The osa base avodas kochavim lo nisraf, and the only place that survived the fire was the house of idol worship. Amar lo, so Rav Gamliel answers, Em shelch Moshe, I'll give you an analogy. Lamaha dover dema, what is this comparable to? Lamelech boser vadam, shesorcha alav medina, a mortal king whose subjects rebelled against him. Kishua semilchoma, when he wages a war against his rebellious subjects. Im hachayim hu oise, o im hamesim hu oise, who does he wage war against? Those that are living or those that are already deceased? Heve Omer, Im Hachayim Ulose. Obviously, he wages a war with the living. So, Rabbi Gamliel, in his analogy, is saying when you describe your community of idol worshippers and a fire set in and consumed the entire community, and the only thing left was the base Avodah Zorah, that's very simply because the base of Avodah Zorah is a place that is dead. It has no power of its own. And God, who was taking out his vengeance, he took it out against the entire community. They are the living. They made a decision to follow the idol. The idol itself is just a deadhead. And there's no need for God to take out his wrath on the dead. Amalei, so the philosoph heard this and said, Kelev ato koreosa, mes ato koreosa? Are you referring to the idol as a dog? You're referring to it as something dead? In Cain, Yovdeno, Minolam. If so, he should just eliminate them from the world. Omalo, so Rabbi Gamliel responded, Ilu ledover she'ein ha'olam tzorech lo hoyu ovdin, harehu mevadlo. If idol worshippers worship those things that the world has no use for, he would have in fact eliminated them. However, harehin ovdin l'chamo levono l'kochavim mazolos, lafikim l'gayos. They worship all kinds of elements that are necessary for the world's maintenance, including the sun, the moon, the kochavim, the stars, the constellations. Afikim goyos, afikim are well springs of water. Should he yovad oilom oilomom neishaitim? Should he see to the world's destruction because of the fools? V'chein hu omer, and the pasuk says thusly: Asoif asaf kol me'al pene ha'adam nu mashem asaf adam uvehema. This pasuk is indicates God's expression of consternation. They, after all, the world worships all of these things. People worship even man and animals and fish and birds of the heavens and as we say fish. Should it be that just because the wicked stumble over these and they fall for them, they follow these things, should I destroy them from the world? They even worship man. Should I eliminate mankind because man is converted into an idol? Of course not. And as we said before, the olam kaminhogo noheg v'holech, the world continues as it is designed by the laws of nature that God himself created and sees to their maintenance. And people who err in falling for idolatry, they eventually will pay the price. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.